once again for Insight with Jack Sogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Sogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Sogler.
Good evening, everybody. Beautiful, chilly Wednesday evening. Jack Sogler on Insight. We are welcoming into the studio three board members. I'm going to do them on a one-on-one basis here.
Candidates.
Yes, not members.
Yet, yes.
Sorry about that. But I'll tell you what. Before we get started, we know that there was a pretty serious accident, and I just want everybody to take a moment and say a few prayers. We don't know a whole lot of the details, but I'm sure there's a new family or two out there that could use extra prayers tonight. So remember them as you lay those weary heads down to sleep. So we welcome into studio first Mr. Chris Duhamel. Hello, Chris.
How you doing?
Good, very good. Well, so you tell us about Chris. Who is Chris Duhamel?
Well, biggest thing is that I've been working out at Cheeseman Trucking for about 25 years now. I've lived in the Fort Recovery area for about 25 years. My kids all attended the school. My son Sam graduated the year before last, so his last kid in the family out there, and just wanted to look at and get involved in the community a little bit more. We've done some stuff in the past with the Jubilee and with the Trader Days, just moving on to a different part of it.
Fantastic. So your kids were who?
My oldest boy is Chad Duhamel. He's 37 years old, I think. He graduated a long time ago. My middle girl, her name is Haley Duhamel. She went to Kent State and graduated from Kent State, and now she's living in Iowa. And then my son works for JR, Sam, my youngest son. He's a tool and die maker out there.
Fantastic. Well, it's always great to have it when your kids stick around, you know. It's always nice too. So explain to me why you wanted to run for the Board of Education.
Well, the biggest thing I want to do is to help and serve, do something to help and give back to the community. That's the biggest reason I'm getting. This is another step in working with the people and trying to make a difference for the kids and make a difference for the community itself.
Very good. So, as you think about a role as a board member, okay. What do you envision your role being in the school process?
Well, the one thing I want to do is I just want to learn from the existing board members and listen to what they have to say, and to put my common sense approach to it. The security of our kids is probably the one thing that I can bring up and just put some common sense approaches to it. But that's really the only thing that in my mindset that I can do is to approach that, but work with the existing board members that are out there to try to listen to what they're doing and just give my common sense approach to it.
So you said that you've lived in Fort Recovery for about 25 years. Where'd you graduate high school?
I graduated from Meadowdale High School in Dayton, Ohio.
Okay. So what was that school experience like?
Different. It was back in the days where things were getting pretty rough in the schools, and that was one of the schools that were kind of like right at the top of the list. So, experience wise, we learned a lot.
Yeah.
Dealt with a lot of issues. Not something you didn't really have a good educational learning experience. Teachers were great, but the people were, the kids were, in all essence, thugs. So we just worked through our days and got our education the best we could, and then we moved on.
Now, is that one of the reasons you're thinking about security at our school, just to make sure things like that? Is that what brought that on, or is there other things, or is it just stuff in the news now?
What we experienced in the school system as a young teenager, but also all the things that's happened in the past.
It seems
like the terrible things happen where people don't expect them to happen. We just can't forget about that.
Yep.
Very well said. So as you look at the education that your kids had here,
mm-hmm.
What were your general experiences?
The teachers held them accountable. They taught them very well. The kids did not get away with a lot of things that, let's say, I did when I was a kid.
Yeah.
The school systems, they do care, and they're doing their job very well. And you can see that in the awards that they're given and the kind of people they attract.
Good.
Very good.
So it's like you get on, let's say things go your way a week from yesterday, and Chris is the newest member of the Board of Education. What would you hope to accomplish in your 4 years?
Learn and make a difference.
Yep.
That's pretty much the difference is what is it? What is the difference? And working with people to understand what we need to do and looking at what we have and understanding the politics or the logic to this, the decisions that are made. Hopefully I can contribute to that.
Okay.
So let me just ask real quick too. So what kind of, and this is probably something Jack's going to get to, so I'm probably jumping the gun, but what do you, are there some particular skills, things that you have done through your life, or things that you think, because different perspectives are important. They can't all be ex-teachers or somebody with an agenda or anything like that. So are there certain things that you think, certain skills and experiences you've had, or just your general set of, you know, a different experience from Donnie Wendell sitting in here, we'll say him, or Greg Lefevre, or whoever, Mitch Fullenkamp will be in later, or Dee Greasup. That's a number of fairly diverse people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that probably what you're thinking, just one more different viewpoint, or do you think you have some specific things that might be of importance?
Well, I think the absolute diversity is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
As far as a skill set or dealing with the problems, we've been dealing with problems as a driver manager.
We have
psychology, whatever you want to call it. Every person has a different point of view, and every situation's different. So that's how you want to approach just about everything.
Yep.
It turns out to be a pretty good way to go about things. Learning from the situations that I've been through in the last 25 years, the Marine Corps stuff, the things that we did, approaching it and using that to interject some common sense approaches to the problems that we got.
Yep. So, yeah, that's, and, you know, coming from, I think Dee Greasup graduated from Rushi, everybody else graduated from Fort Recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from a bigger school gives you a completely different perspective,
mm-hmm.
from, and maybe some different ideas of what to do and what not to do, things that maybe didn't work so well where you were or did work where you were. So, sorry, Jack, I didn't mean to jump in there and steal one of your questions.
Yeah, okay. My next question is, what skills do you... He does it every time. He does it every time.
And then he harasses me every time, too. I'm sorry.
So, let me ask you this, I don't know if this is necessarily appropriate, but over the course of the past 8 or 10 years, mm-hmm. has there been any issue or topic that you read a summary in the paper about the board amendments and you thought, what in the hell are they doing? The hell are they doing? The hell are they doing? The hell are they doing?
I don't know where that's coming from.
No, I have not.
Sorry.
I've not seen or read that. There's some questions about things that have been done, but at the time I didn't know who the board members were. The choices that were made sometimes, I feel that there could have been some other things done, other people chosen, but I don't know the reasons for that. So to say I know the reason or I give my point of view is without knowing the other side of it, it's hard for me to say.
So have you ever held a similar position on a board or part of a committee or that type of thing that would
I have not held a board member position. I've just been a sounding board for 300 plus guys. So, yeah. And I've always stood the ground for them. So,
well, and the Jubilee Committee stuff, it's not really a big meeting or all that kind of stuff. But you know, that's a big deal where everybody's kind of, you have to cooperate and do.
Yeah,
and go for one thing. Yeah,
I guess the Jubilee. I wasn't on the committee. I was just part of the process. But we enjoyed it while we did it, what we gathered from it is the funds that went back and what was appropriated different ways through the committees. That was always a process that was pretty impressive to me. So where we went with that money and the judgments and made the things that were. Where that money went, and we contributed to that, so it was pretty rewarding.
Well, you talked about being an important part of like the training process. Yes. Out at Cheeseman's. You know, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's an educational piece, mm-hmm. of the business that you know, kind of fits with the whole board member thing as well.
Yeah, the educational side of it, we've been doing this for quite a long time. I'd say I've been training the new hires and the drivers that come in, and going forward with all the things that we do, the different things, different types of equipment we got to use and to put a driver on that setting. When I give them the okay for that, with my team, I feel comfortable with it, and we typically move forward really well.
Yeah. One of the, you know, when you talk to somebody that maybe I'll say a little bit older, okay, and you bring up the technology piece, mm-hmm. and how, if there's one area that's probably changed a bunch, mm-hmm. from the time when I was in school or you were in school compared to today,
yes, sir.
The technology piece is definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think of that, do you think we can't give kids the technology fast enough, and we've got to train them on it more, or do you think we have to stay with the basics, you know, the math, the science, the reading, mm-hmm. you know, what's your take on that?
Well, the basics is the fundamentals of life itself, you know, as far as being functional as an adult, have to be good at those things. And more so than you think about the young kids that come out today, they're so dependent on technology to make decisions or to calculate a problem. So they tend to get away from that. So I think the basics are very important. But the technology, the computer systems, that's the way we're living today. So they need to understand those things too. And the typing. Typing is something that the newer kids, they go through it pretty well. I deal with technology every day.
Yeah.
But I'm not very good at it. But I've got a lot of guys around me that do very well with it. So it helps, kind of enhances that.
Yeah. So do you, you know, at the next, at you know, one of your first board meetings, they come to the board and they say, we want to spend X number of dollars, and that X makes you hold your breath a little bit, mm-hmm. on improving our technology in the middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think good investment, or do you think, holy crap, I think we could spend that much money better?
Depends on what the process is. That's where the other board members come in, and that's where the group of people that's involved in that have different points of views and understandings. My position on that would be, what is it going to consist of? What's the reasoning for this? What's the logic? And if the logic makes sense, then that would be okay. But I would talk to the other board members, and we'd listen to that first.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and give you a chance to kind of make sure that we know what you want us to know about Chris Duhamel. So we'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
If you're like me, then finding a job that fits your timeline is vital for you to be able to work at all. Cupid Farms lets me set my own schedule so that I can work when I have the time to. No one should have to choose between their family and their career. Thanks to Cupid Farms, you don't have to. With locations Van Wert, Paulding, Mercer County, and beyond, Cupid Farms has the flexibility and competitive pay I needed to work without sacrificing time with my family. Visit CooperFarmsJobs.com to find your new job today. Cupid Farms, more than a workplace.
The Fort Recovery Local Schools will be hosting their annual Veterans Day and Senior Citizens Breakfast and Program on Friday, November 10th in the elementary middle school auditoria. Doors will open at 9 a.m. and breakfast will be served by the Fort Recovery High School students to all of the guests beginning at 9:15. The program will begin at 9:45 and will include the presentation of colors by the Fort Recovery American Legion, performances by the Fort Recovery High School Band and the By Request Vocal Group, and will be highlighted by words from the guest speaker, retired Army veteran Dan White from American Hero Hunt, a group whose mission is to give back to our veterans by providing them with hunting, fishing, camping, and other outdoor activities. All veterans, senior citizens, and their spouses are welcome to attend. Please call the Fort Recovery Middle School office at 375-2815 by Friday, November 3rd to RSVP.
We're back. Insight. We're talking to Chris Duhamel, candidate for the Fort Recovery Board of Education, and we've learned a lot about Chris. So Chris, as like you think about the next 4 years, and I tell you what, as you read the papers, I don't think there's any doubt that there's a lot of changes going on in school systems and the community. As you think about the next 4 years, what do you think are the most important issues that you'll be dealing with as a new member of the Board of Education?
Well, the biggest thing I'm looking at myself, like again I said earlier, is the security of the kids. That's really the one thing that I feel really strong about. But I do not know what the process is right now and what the logic is behind it. So that was one of the things that I want to introduce. But in turn, I want to make sure that I learn and listen to what's going on. And in turn, that would make me grow and make good decisions for everybody involved. That's something that's happened in the last 5 years for me in my role. So understanding that there's always two sides of the story. And there's reasons for things that being a little more transparent is very good. Making decisions that let the community know why, what we did this for, how we did this, and why. Those are the bigger issues that I think, you know, information might be out there, but I don't know where it's at. So informally, that's what I want to do. But as far as the process or what I see myself doing, I think I'm hoping just to grow as an individual and learn from this, because we're going to be surrounded by a bunch of good people and make good, solid decisions for the community.
Very good. So I'll get back to that question that I kind of led with the teaser going into the break. Mm-hmm. What would you like for the voters, for the people of Fort Recovery, to know about you that they might not know?
The one thing is that we are very community-based. I mean, the family is, I married into a family up here, the Judy family. Up here is, it's important for me to be part of that. I was talking with a friend, and he said that 25 years you're part of the community already, you know. And so in turn, really kind of looked at that. So what I want everyone to understand is that I want to give back. That's what I want to do. I'm not doing this for anything other than bringing a common sense approach to the process. And learning the process is absolutely what I want to do in the next 4 years, and hopefully make a difference in that time frame.
Fantastic. Neil, have I missed anything?
I wasn't listening.
That doesn't surprise me.
I was listening to Chris, but I wasn't listening to you. No.
Chris, I tell you what, you did an outstanding job of representing yourself.
Thank you.
I wish you nothing but great things next Tuesday. It'll be a long night.
I appreciate that.
So
I appreciate that.
And I think just a completely different point of view from what everybody else is bringing can be very important.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's what people need to know. They're not all this going right at it. And it's just a different point of view. And I think it's a great thing.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. So Chris, we wish you luck next week. So we're going to take a little break and get the second candidate in here, Mr. Don Wendell. And so we'll be back right after this.
Thanks.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Did you know the most stable skid steer on earth is now even more powerful? The L234 Super Boom Skid Steer Loader from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery offers 90 horsepower with increased hydraulics, breakout force, lift capacity, and comfort. You get the superior visibility, stability, and easy maintenance you expect from New Holland. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today to learn more about the high-performance New Holland L234 Skid Steer Loader.
Klingtern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingternandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs. The general election is coming up on Tuesday, November 7th, and early voting and vote by mail are available now. Go to elections.mercercountyohio.gov and click on voter information for details. Most of the village, township, and county races are uncontested, with the exception of the Fort Recovery School Board, with five people running for two seats. Those candidates are Chris Duhamel, Mitch Fullenkamp, Dee Greasup, Greg Lefevre, and incumbent Don Wendell. There are no new levies on the ballot, but there are several local and county renewal levies. Also, there are two big state issues to vote on. Issue 1 would legalize abortion in certain situations in Ohio. Issue 2 would legalize the recreational use of marijuana in Ohio. We urge you to do some research to familiarize yourself with the details of each issue, because there are important details that might not be apparent in the headlines and TV ads. Be sure to get out and vote on Tuesday, November 7th, or vote early at the courthouse or by mail. It's your duty and your obligation. This coming Sunday will be the end of daylight saving time this year. In the fall, we set our clocks back an hour, so this Sunday at 2 a.m., you would turn your clocks back to 1 a.m. It's also recommended that you change the batteries in your smoke detectors and also change your furnace filters. Again, daylight saving time ends this coming weekend. Sunday morning at 2 a.m., it will become 1 a.m.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Ms. Neil Spencer, and we're talking to school board candidates tonight, right, Neil?
Yes, sir. Not members, but this one happened.
I remember. Said candidates.
Yes, you did. Yes, this time you did.
And Neil spoke with Greg Lefevre and Dee Greasup last week,
last
correct?
Last week, yep.
And tonight we...
You asked better questions, Jack.
What's that?
You asked better questions than I did.
Neil, that is my 30 years of HR experience that I just like being nosy.
That's know? Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this next guy is worth being nosy about, I think. He's the current president of the Fort Recovery Board of Education, Mr. Don Wendell. Ho, Don.
Good evening, Jack.
So let's start by the getting to know Don Wendell piece.
Getting to know Don Wendell.
Yeah.
Lifelong resident of the Fort, graduate of Fort Recovery, also graduated from Wright State, degree in finance. I didn't really go far with that. I had about 10 months in a credit union and ended up in transportation, and that's been a good fit ever since. Currently the distribution and logistics manager at Cooper Farms, based out of St. Henry. Married, 24 years, wife Brenda. I've got two children, both out of the district now. Hope's in her third year at Findlay. Faith is in her first year at Wright State.
Fantastic. What are they studying?
Hope is studying to be a physical therapist, and Faith's working on a nursing degree.
Awesome. Fantastic. So, so you're the current Board of Education, and since you're on the board, the questions can be kind of skewed a little differently, I think. So you look at your 4 years, and this is your first term, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, what are you most proud of for the last 4 years?
I would say our work with the culture and commitment guide. It was an effort we put together early on and kind of laid out the foundation for how we want the educational process to work throughout the schools, and I feel like that's working real well. I've had a middle school that was just awarded a blue ribbon, national blue ribbon, one of 29 schools in the country to receive that this year. So got an entire district that's ranked 42 in the state. which I think is really good considering it. I think in 2018 or 19, we were like 101. So we're making improvements there. And I think that, that foundation that was laid out, and Mr. Brown was a big part of that, and his staff did a really good job at putting that together, and now we're executing.
So how has being on the school board been different than what you envisioned it being when you were in Chris's shoes and you were just getting ready to run?
I would say the biggest thing is people assume that the school board makes all the decisions, and we approve a lot of the decisions. We don't necessarily make them. Our duty is to hire the superintendent and the treasurer. Outside of that, hiring's done through the administration, mm-hmm. through the superintendent, through the principals, and we simply approve it. So that's a kind of a misnomer. People think that the board does that, and we're generally approving most of those.
So how often does the board or an individual member of the board challenge that? You said that you simply approve what the superintendent recommends usually. But what if you're not sure that you would have made the same decision? You know, I mean, does that happen very often?
I would say it hasn't happened a lot in 4 years. There have been some decisions that were not unanimous. But overwhelmingly, I felt like we've had a really strong administration. They've made some good decisions, and you've got to support your superintendent, your principals when they make those good decisions.
So as a board member of 4 years, what skills do you believe you brought to the table that have contributed to Fort Recovery's success?
The student comes first. I truly believe that. But in addition to that, you also have to take into consideration the community, because not everybody's got a vested interest in our schools, such as a student. I mean, they've always got a vested interest because they're likely a taxpayer. So you've got to keep those people in mind, too. I think as far as my personal traits, just a common sense approach and a level head goes a long way.
You've been under the gun the past couple of months, and not necessarily about things that the board decided, but when dealing with different situations. So how do you, as a board member, address that when it's not your decision, but you're the one that is kind of being held to the grindstone?
As far as addressing it, in public, you really can't, because there's a student involved, and you can't divulge that kind of information. Yeah, that's a private matter. So, unfortunately, there's things you'd love to say at times, but you just don't, because you've got to respect the student that's involved there. I guess that's the biggest thing.
Yeah. So as you look at the makeup of the board, okay, and it seems like when the board is good, there's different board members that have different strengths, okay. Is that the case now, and what are some of those roles that the different board members play?
I would say we're a very diverse board right now. We've got one with an HR background. We've got an engineer. Myself's more in transportation logistics. We've got a factory supervisor, and I believe Nick's in accounting, but don't quote me on that one. But he's pretty good with numbers. So
yeah,
we do have a very diverse skill set, and it really complements each other very well sometimes.
Yeah. So, as you know, there's a lot of people that they get their 4 years in, say, hey, I learned a lot, I appreciate the system, I had fun, but 4 years is plenty. you decide that 4 years isn't plenty. Why?
Probably two things. One, I felt like we've made great strides the last 4 years, and I want to see that continue. And two, I just want some continuity in our board. Going through the superintendent hiring process this past year, we had some very qualified candidates and some that appeared to be coming to the fort that might take a pay cut. And, you know, I asked myself, why are these people even interviewing here? I mean, what makes... Why Fort Recovery, Ohio, other than the fact it's a great school system? Through the interview process, you kind of learned that it might have been the fact that they didn't have a strong board. They didn't have a stable board, and they didn't feel like their future was solid. And they may have been fleeing a board, not necessarily the school or the children at that point. So given that, I knew that we have three board members coming off this year, myself included. I knew that the two weren't going to run, and I felt like I owed it to our young administration to stick around to give us a stable board for the next 4 years.
Very good. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about, what do you see as being your focal points for the next 4 years that we'll be focusing on. So we'll be back right after this.
Good teaser, Jack.
Thank you.
Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery has openings in their parts department. If you're friendly and professional with a working knowledge of farm equipment, consider joining the Hull Brothers team. Applicants need to have solid computer skills, a good ability to communicate, and the desire to learn. Full-time employees enjoy great pay and benefits. Since 1896, Hull Brothers has served area farmers. Consider joining the parts department at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Stop in soon or give Hull Brothers a call today.
If you're looking for great food at great prices, just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. They have sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, wraps, and of course their famous pizza and wings. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them and drive through and pick it up. And be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their famous pizza and wing buffet. Make Miracle Lanes your number one spot for great food. Be sure to put their number in your phone and just call them whenever you're hungry. 419-375-4274. Election Day is coming up on Tuesday, November 7th, and that means the Trinity Lutheran Church will be having their all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper. They'll be serving from 4 to 7 p.m., and drive-through carryouts will be available. The meal includes spaghetti, breadsticks, salad, dessert, and a drink. You can just stop by for your all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper. Tickets can be purchased at the door. Tickets are only $8, and all the proceeds will go to their local Friends in Need Fund. That's the annual Election Day all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper from 4 to 7 on Tuesday, November 7th at the Trinity Lutheran Church at the corner of Wayne Street and State Route 49. It's time for the Wendoline Sports Club's Fall Fish and Chicken Fry, coming up on Friday evening, November 3rd, from 4:30 to 7. Stop out for this fall treat. It's all the chicken and fish you want, along with their large variety of side dishes, and carryouts are available too. Don't miss the Wendoline Sports Club's Fall Chicken and Fish Buffet, coming up on Friday, November 3rd, from 4:30 to 7.
Yep. Sorry. Yep.
We're back.
Yeah, we are back. Sorry, we were chit-chatting.
I wasn't ready.
I told him we were ready, and then I started asking him questions. So that wasn't
he
fair.
He does that all the time. It's incredible.
This time it wasn't on purpose.
Yeah. So, as you think about the next 4 years, okay, it just seems like there's a lot of crap that's being approved at some levels in some states or some towns that it seems like it eventually leaks its way into the school systems like ours. As like you think about the next 4 years, what are some of the issues that you believe can have a great influence on your next 4 years?
I would say, you know, you look around the country and you look at what some may say moral decay. You know, I'd like to hope that we're a little more isolated around here and we've got a strong family network, whether it be your actual mother and father or your neighbor. We've got a strong support system that's going to look out for the kids, and they're going to take the kids' best interest to heart and hopefully make those decisions and lead them in the right direction. So I would hope that maybe we don't have as much outside influence in our beautiful little neck of the woods here.
Has there been any incidences brought up where a student wanted to be called he instead of she, or cat instead of a person, or that type of thing?
I thought you weren't going to ask gotcha questions, Jack.
No, I'm just asking whether it's come up here.
I'm not familiar with anything in the district. I mean, maybe that happened. It's not come to our level.
If it happens, as a board member, what the hell do you do?
are you talking to board member Don Wendell or Don Wendell on the street? You might get two different questions. Yep. Answers to that.
There's a difference.
Yep.
Well, you know, I mean, okay, so as a school board in rural Ohio, okay, and I'm sure we would go to our attorneys and say, what do we have to do? Okay. So what would they tell us to do?
I would say you talk to the attorney. They're going to tell us to err on the side of caution. And that's kind of the direction they go. I mean, yeah. But that's what the lawyer's supposed to tell you.
And some of those things are state maybe suggestions, and some are state mandates, and you don't even get a choice. So maybe not in that specific thing, but there's a whole bunch of things that are probably against the grain of most of the people in this community. But if it's a state mandate that you have to honor this thing or this group or this whatever it might be, you might not have a choice.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but
right.
when like I think, and it's like issue one.
Yeah.
Okay. You can drive around all of Mercer, all Glaze, and Dark County and not see one vote yes sign on issue one.
Yeah.
Okay. But you can bet that that's going to come damn close to passing if it doesn't pass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, the moral context seems like it's getting down to our level to a certain extent.
I would say that's a fair assessment. You know, there are certain things that are going to be mandated, and, you know, you got to tread lightly when it comes to a mandate. But if it's not something that we're forced into, I'd like to think locally we're going to use our best judgment. We're going to use some common sense, and we're going to do what's right, what's best for everyone.
Yeah. From a financial standpoint, is there, as a board member, as you look at the 5-year forecast, are we in pretty good shape?
5-year forecast looks good. Our operating cash is in a good position right now. So I feel like we're solid. But, you know, the state is pretty stingy with money. The cost of everything is continually going up. So we've got to be very careful in how we spend that money.
How about from a capital improvements piece of it?
We've got I believe it's a 3-year capital plan that they give us every year, outlining their major projects, their minor projects that are on the horizon. But we've got some aging buildings, too, and that's something, as a district, we have to be cognizant of. You know, that high school's not going to last forever. It's got an aging aging bones to it.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good. We do a good job maintaining it. We've got a great maintenance staff.
Yeah.
but it's always going to be an old building. And we've
I don't appreciate that thing because it was brand new when I was a freshman, and you're calling it old. That's the new building.
It's kind of interesting because I know of a couple of different graduating classes that recently toured, and when I say graduating classes, I'm talking 50-year and 60-year classes that got tours, and they were absolutely amazed at how great the school looked, you know, and they still remembered sitting by the old radiator there, yep. By that side door, you know, and all the things, and they talked about how great the school looked and how much better it looks now than it did back in 1968 or whatever it was.
They've done a really good job keeping it modern looking and keeping it in great shape. So
So as you prepare for your next 4 years, what message could you send to the voters in Fort Recovery to check the Don Wendell box November 8th?
7th?
7th.
Week from yesterday, so that's an easy way to do it. Yeah, 7th.
Well, I guess first after 4 years, you've not scared me off, so I'm in it for the long run. You know, I've got 4 years of experience under my belt, two as the board president now, and I'm just here to help.
Yeah. Neil, am I missing anything?
Probably you don't necessarily need to ask this question, but what's about Don Wendell that people might not know? That's not much, is there?
That's a good question. Probably know more than they should some days.
Check out Facebook. You can see all kinds of
stuff. I'm going to plead the fifth on that question.
Yeah, you've been around a long time. You've worked in town basically forever. You know, you haven't been invisible. So, you know, most people at least have a good perception of who you are. But I didn't want to just pass that up without you being able to say, well, I'm an ordained pastor, or I'm a priest, or I'm a licensed psychologist, but I don't use it. So if there's anything that maybe you want to throw out there that people might not know, that's a good time, but you don't need to.
I think I'm good there.
You're good. But Don, I'll tell you what, I wish you luck next Tuesday. I appreciate the fact that you decided to jump in for that next 4 years, because the first 4 years, the first two and a half of it is a learning experience, you know, and you just start to where you got how things run, you know, and then it's time to make the decision, do I want to run again or not? And I appreciate the fact that you're willing to use your experience and your last 4 years to make the next 4 years better.
Thank you, Jack.
So that's Donnie Wendell running for Fort Recovery's school board next Tuesday.
Yep. And so let's take a little break. We'll bring Rocker in and get his This Day in Pop Culture History and all that stuff. You're welcome to hang around, Don. I'm sure you remember that we harass Rocker almost all the way through his segment, which is extremely unfair, but we entertain ourselves and harass him. So
he deserves every bit of it.
No, he does. He doesn't deserve any of what we give him, but
so we'll be back after this.
Can't help ourselves.
It's all fun and games until someone bangs into a tree or a dock. Hi, I'm Gavin Tobe with Fort Recovery Insurance. Sport utility vehicles, motorcycles, boats, and jet skis are loads of fun, and fun is all that is on your mind when you purchase one. But we both know that accidents can happen. Go ahead, get out there, have fun, but with the confidence that I've got your back. I'm Gavin Tobe at FortRecoveryInsurance.com.
You can't predict predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Another great presentation at our museum is coming up starting November 4th and continuing each weekend through January 7th. It's entitled St. Clair's Defeat Revisited, A New View of the Conflict. This will be a temporary exhibit and will introduce us to the complex history of St. Clair's defeat on November 4th, 1791, and its context and aftermath with respect to the nine tribal nations who orchestrated the greatest defeat of the U.S. military in history. The exhibit's four themes, design, and immersive qualities will give us the context of the background, the battle and Native Crescent strategy, the aftermath including broken treaties, removal, and boarding schools, and the persistence of tribes today. On the first weekend of this exhibit, there will be a speaker on Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 1 o'clock entitled Nothing About Us Without Us, presented by representatives of several of the tribes that were here in the battle. The exhibit will remain here at our museum through early January and will be open and free to the public from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday during those 10 weekends, with the exception of Christmas and New Year's weekends, when it will be open on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. You don't want to miss your chance to see more about the Native Americans' perspective on their historic victory over the entire United States Army that occurred more than 230 years ago, right here where our town now stands. The exhibit is free and open to the public and will run from the first weekend in November through the first weekend in January, with oral presentations on Saturday, November 4th and Sunday, November 5th at 1 p.m. each day.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Neil Spencer, Rocker Bonbillon. We're going to throw you a little curveball. We told you that we were coming back with Rocker, but Mitch Follenkamp happened to walk in at just the wrong time for him. And we're going to interview Mitch here next. And Mitch is the third member of, is a third candidate for the Board of Education for Fort Recovery. Hello, Mitch.
Hey, good evening. Nice to be here.
So how's it going tonight?
Real good.
Good?
Real good.
So why would a young guy that seems like he's pretty intelligent decide to run for the Board of Education?
Yeah, you're giving me a lot of credit there, so I appreciate it. You know, for me, I got young kids that are about to go through the school system. Three of them are in school now. One of them will start school next year, so... just looking at it from a parent standpoint, right? Making sure the school system's going in the right direction. And how do I influence that direction? How do I look at the issues as they are brought up to the board? As a board, we need to look at it from a five-person standpoint, right? There's going to be a group decision. We're going to look at the issues as a group, go back and discuss those issues and come up with the best decision. So, I just want to be involved in that, be involved in the community and be involved in this community that I've been in, living in my whole life, working in most of my work life. So continue to be involved and as my kids go through the school. So
fantastic. So you touched on your kids and stuff, so let's do a get to know Mitch Follenkamp thing.
All right, sure.
Okay, so share a bit about your background, your education, your work experience, family?
Yeah, absolutely. 2006 graduate, Fort Recovery. Married my wife, Katie Reisner, who was a 2007 graduate of Fort Recovery as well. Started college at Wright State Lake campus right after high school. After a year, decided I was bored and joined the Marine Corps Reserves. So went through that training, got back, continued to go to Wright State Lake campus for the time being until I got deployed in 2010, did one deployment to Iraq. It was a great experience at the time. You know, obviously it was kind of the downturn of the war. So my experience over there was a lot of convoy security, going from base to base as we shut down those Marine Corps bases, either handing them over to the Iraqi Army or the U.S. Army as we were pulling out. So good experience over there. Came back, got married, moved to Dayton, finished my college degree at Wright State Main Campus in Dayton with a business degree. Right before graduating, I had applied at JR Manufacturing for a sales position. Didn't get that job, but got a call back soon after, actually before graduating college, and they had another position that they opened up for me. So right after graduating, we moved back to Fort Recovery, which was our dream. We wanted to move back to the town we loved, to the community we loved, and I've been with JR since. So I've been there a little over 11 years now, currently the purchasing manager at JR, and love my job, love the community, and want my kids, you know, want every kid in Fort Recovery to have that same pride in the community, pride in the what we've done here.
So you graduated in 2007.
2006. My in wife was
2006.
Yep.
I'm just trying. You're younger than most of the shirts that I have in my closet. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible. So you touched kind of on why you wanted to run for the Board of Veggies, but go a little bit further into that. You know, what are the important parts of the process that you're most intrigued about?
So from a school standpoint, like I said, it's got to be a decision from a group standpoint. You know, the board's got to look at it from the group standpoint, but you got to take all that information as it comes to you from the different people that are bringing those issues up to you. So, you know, how do you look at those issues on a case-by-case basis and make the best decisions? Not only for, you know, the students, for the teachers, for the community as a whole, for those parents, the parents that are concerned about their kids going to school each day, making sure their kids are getting the best education possible in a safe environment. So just like I said, in influencing those decisions that affect those issues.
So what do you think your with your job in purchasing, are there skills with that you think can maybe transfer over to things that can help with the school board, or is there anything in there that you're thinking might be of very good use?
Yeah, so I'm lucky enough to be in the management team at JR. So, you know, each week we get together as the management team and review the different issues that's presented to us. So it's kind of the same situation where you're taking those comments and those suggestions from people underneath you and bringing them up to that level where you're making those big-time decisions, making those high-level decisions that are going to influence not only the short-term but the long-term aspects, you know, from a business standpoint, but obviously with the school board, with the school standpoint. So looking at it from that high-level standpoint and making those decisions.
So as, like, you look back to your education, okay, what did you think of it?
You know, I think Fort Recovery set me up with an excellent opportunity for success at graduating high school. You know, that's the reason I wanted to stay in the community, wanted to stay local with going to Wright State Lake Campus. I had to go down to Dayton to finish my degree down there, but by all means, I wanted to stay in this community and stay around. You know, I think the Fort Recovery system, you know, has a proven success system. You know, these last few years, you look at the success that the school system has had. You know, we're top in the state. We're top 5% of the state. And you look at our local, right? There's a lot of local schools that are really competing with us, and we want to stay competitive with them as well. You know, your Marion's, your Coldwaters, right? Make sure that not only academically, but also athletically and outside of athletics, right? With different clubs that kids are going to be in, make sure they continue to have that success.
So, where did you graduate in your class?
I was...
How about if we ask you that, Jack? Or did you graduate?
43rd.
That seems a little high.
Well,
go ahead, Mitch. Sorry.
Yeah. I believe it was around 23, 24. So not top of the class, but yeah.
So, happy. So I was like, you think back, and this is This is a totally different type of question. Who's your favorite teacher?
Mrs. Armstrong.
You know, when like I was on the Board of Education, she was almost listed with every kid that graduated.
She was a fantastic teacher.
Why?
Just the level of involvement that she had with each student. She really showed that she cared. She cared about the issues that were going through with that student, and took the time to sit down and talk with those kids that she thought maybe were having issues and needed that extra support, right? Maybe they weren't getting that support from their other students or from other faculty, or even from home, right? So she took it upon herself to make sure she gave that student what they needed. And I actually got some of that myself from her. Yeah. So as
like you think about taking that, because I think you're absolutely right. So as a board member, is there any way that you can influence that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously as a board, you know, we're in charge of hiring the superintendent and the treasurer. So, you know, down from there, just helping them influence the decisions that they're making on the type of people that they're hiring, how they're coaching the different teachers underneath them, the principals underneath them, right? Making sure they're giving their support group with the best opportunity to succeed. You know. Yeah.
Yep. That's really good answer, Neil.
Well, you haven't asked him a gotcha question yet, so maybe he won't give a good answer to
one. I kind of did when I asked him where he graduated in his class.
Yeah, I guess you did.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break and come back, and I'm going to ask you 4 gotcha questions.
Hell no.
Nah, I won't. No. But we will be back right after this.
Wayne IGA has the very popular Cooper Farms mixed turkey rolls in stock for those of us who want to be sure to get what we need for the holidays. This is the perfect time to be sure you have what you and your family are going to want. The turkey rolls should be available all season, but there could be some occasional shortages, and Wayne IGA will have them in stock whenever they're available. Again, Cooper Farms mixed turkey rolls are in stock. Be ready for the upcoming holidays and stop by Wayne IGA today.
Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Vores, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Vores Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Vores Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
New Year's Eve is coming up, and you're wondering what to do. Here's your answer. The Sawyer Overman Memorial Committee is having a huge New Year's Eve party at the Legion featuring the dueling pianos. We all know that it's a big party when the dueling pianos come to town. Plus, it's New Year's Eve, so this should be a great event. The tickets are $100 per person, and they're available from any Sawyer Overman Committee member or any community club member, and all the proceeds will go toward the Sawyer Overman Ninja Park. The event includes a supper and an open bar, and there will be several side raffles going on that night. Don't miss the big New Year's Eve party featuring the dueling pianos. Get your tickets now from any Sawyer Overman Committee member or any community club member.
We're back, Insight. Talking to Mitch Follenkamp, a candidate for the Fort Recovery Board of Education. Mitch is younger than most of my shirts.
Yes. Right? We've determined that earlier.
Yes. And
I'm almost younger than most of your shirts, I think.
That's true.
At least by the looks of what you wear. You're welcome.
All right. So Mitch, as we think about the next 4 years, okay, what do you believe are the issues that are facing the Board of Education that will be important, that'll be on your plate?
Yeah, when you look at the news and you see these boards that are getting deep in the weeds with these issues that are coming up, with certain student issues. You know, you hope that Fort Recovery is kind of isolated enough to stay out of those issues, but you got to open your eyes and realize that those issues are going to make it to our door at some point. There's stuff that we're going to be able to influence, stuff that we're going to be able to keep, you know, kind of isolate ourselves from in the school system. But there's stuff that's going to come through that we're just not going to be able to influence. And how do we take those, take that direction from the state or from the government and make it work for recovery? And that's something that the board's going to have to do, going to have to look at every aspect, every direction of that mandate that's coming down, and making sure that, you know, we're making the best decision that we can, that we have the ability to make for our system.
With the understanding we may not have all the ability to make those decisions.
Exactly.
Locally.
Yep. Yeah. There's going to be stuff that we can't influence. We just have to take it and make it work for us.
Yeah. So, give me your thoughts on the role of technology in schools.
You know, I think, you know, with JR, automation and robotics is key to our success. And so technology and school systems has got to be something that we promote, something that we get kids excited about. STEM activities, science, technology, and engineering, math, has got to be, you know, some of the most important stuff that we teach our students. You know, and how do we give our students more opportunities to get hands-on with that type of stuff. You know, JR is happy to have, we do STEM tours every year for seventh grade students to come in, tour our facilities, talk to our engineers, talk to our staff, and look at the type of stuff that we're putting in a small business, right? So you look at that from a small business, what are other bigger businesses doing, right? So you're going to set those students up with a lot more success, the more opportunities and the more chances they have to experience that type of stuff throughout their school system, so that it's not something new to them when they graduate and when they get into college or go straight into the workforce, right? It's something that they're used to, something that they've seen before and they're comfortable with. So technology is very important.
So as you prepare for your 4 years, what would you like to accomplish, or what would you like to see change, so that at the end of the 4 years, you can say, I'm proud of that?
Well, I mentioned it earlier. You know, Fort Recovery has been on a path to success, and, you know, contributing to the school boards before me. If I'm lucky enough to get elected onto that school board, continue that success, continue that path of success that we've seen, that improvement that we've seen year over year. But also want to focus on student safety, safety in the school, safety in the environment that those kids are in. If they don't feel like they're safe walking into that environment, it's going to hinder how well they perform, how well they learn in the school system. So not saying that Fort Recovery is an unsafe situation at all, but, you know, how do we review the policies that we have, make improvements where we can, do what we can, and also look at other schools as a benchmark, right? Is there other schools in the area or in the state that are doing things outside of what we're doing currently that could improve our policies, and how do we implement those to the best of our abilities? And also just from an extracurricular standpoint, right? Making sure our kids have access to play the sports that they want to play, be in the activities that they want to be in, you know, whether it be band or music or any of the other.
FFA,
exactly.
Spanish club, anything, all of those things. There's a bunch of things.
Yep, because you can learn everything from the books, from the classroom standing, but once you get in those extracurricular activities and you have that interaction with these other students, these other people outside of the community, right? That's setting you up on that path to success once you graduate, because you're going to feel more comfortable going and talking to people and working with people as a group when you have that experience.
And it's amazing how many, and I'll say kids, but it's not just kids, but how those social skills, those emotional intelligence skills, seem like more and more they are becoming a thing of the past.
Right. Yeah, students, you know, you go anywhere nowadays and people are just staring at their phones, right? Nobody's sitting there talking and having a conversation with anyone anymore. So that's what those extracurricular activities are doing, right? It's getting those students out of their shell and having that, putting them in a position where they have to work with other people, have to work as a team or have to work as a group to accomplish something. And that's really what's going to put them on that success path.
Fantastic. So, as we wrap things up, what do you want people to know about Mitch Follenkamp that they may not know?
You know, I covered a lot tonight. Obviously, military past. I'm a dedicated father, dedicated family man to my family. You know, just a strong work ethic, which I think is just a factor of the small community, the community that we're in and the area that we're in, right? We have a lot of people that come from that, you know, small town community that have a lot of pride in the community and want to see that community succeed, and that's where I'm at, you know, from living here, from working here, and wanting to be on the school board to continue that.
Let me ask you something real quick. You were talking a little bit ago about extracurricular activities. What extracurricular activities were you in, and what do you think they did for you as a person?
Yeah.
As a young person, as a student.
Yeah, for me, I was in band, played the trumpet in band. It's actually where I met my wife. So we started dating in band.
Love in the horn section.
Yep. also ran cross country and ran track and field. So, yeah, just good opportunities all around to work with people. You know, had good friends outside of those, but also had good friends inside of those activities. Yeah,
probably met people that you, well, including your wife, that you might not have met.
Right.
Otherwise, of course, a small school, you're going to at least know who
know
they are.
Anyway.
But yeah, but yep. Yeah, it's just there's just things that happen when you're in those other things, in these other groups that is different from just being in school.
You have a lot more chance to interact with people, right?
Yeah.
So in a classroom standpoint, you have your time in between class and you have your certain activities inside that class where you're getting as a group. But when you're traveling to somewhere or you're going somewhere on the bus, right?
Yeah.
And you're sitting there waiting for your activity to start and you're talking to people and you're working with people, not only from Fort Recovery, but also from other schools, right?
Yeah.
It's a good opportunity to really broaden your perspective of other people and other creeds.
Okay, I've got one gotcha question.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
I'll delete this up from the archives if you need us to.
And
just
Don,
let me know, Mitch.
Don, this is yours too.
Uh-oh.
If you invested in yard signs to run for the Board of Education, what would your slogan be? Okay.
That's a good one.
That's a good one, ain't it?
Well, while they're thinking, what would your slogan be? Or what was your slogan when you ran? You didn't have one because you couldn't think of one, could you?
I had posters all over the place.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, but those were FBI wanted posters.
That's true.
So what was yours? Did you have a slogan?
I was related to Bill.
No, you don't. Say that again, Rock. I had your microphone.
I was related to Bill.
That would not help you.
That would not.
Losing votes by the billions.
Don, you got one?
Why, I'd say anybody that knows me, Jack, knows I'm too cheap to buy yard signs. There's no slogan.
Frugal. That's
frugal,
a good thing,
yeah,
to be in on the school board.
For me, you know, I think there was an Indiana governor, Mitch.
Oh, yeah.
His slogan was "My Man Mitch." So
okay, yep,
I'll go with that.
There you go.
Stole it. Oh, no, he's a plagiarizer.
But it's a good one.
It is a good one. But Mitch, I'll tell you what, you did a fantastic job tonight. I wish you great things next Tuesday. You know, it's always a long kind of a scary night, you know, when you're just waiting.
Yeah.
But I think you can be very proud of the way you represented yourself up here.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate what you guys are doing for the community. This is great. This is a great discussion and gets that word out for everybody. So, thank you.
Fantastic. So, for Mitch and Dee and Chris and Don.
Greg Lefevre.
And Greg. Get out there and vote. You can vote for all of them, right?
Yeah, but they'll negate your ballot, so you can vote for up to three.
You can vote for up to three.
And you can vote now. It's almost too late to vote by mail, but not technically. You can go to the courthouse and vote when they're open. And obviously, you can vote next Tuesday from 6:30 to 7:30.
And we would also be remiss if we didn't thank Jake and Ann for their 4 years of serving on the Board of Education.
Yep.
We can be happy that we've got some excellent candidates.
Yes.
And make sure you vote next Tuesday. These positions aren't real well publicized, but they're very, very important, and we appreciate guys like Don and Chris and Mitch and Greg and Dee putting themselves out there for us.
Yep, we appreciate it a lot.
So, we're going to take one more break and come back and with Rockin' Rocker.
Yep, this time we really mean it. We'll be back with Rocker.
So,
back in just a minute.
Do you want to work somewhere that is more than a workplace? Look no further than Cooper Farms, where their competitive pay and superb workforce will make you feel like a part of the family from day one. Cooper Farms has locations in Van Wert, Paulding, and Mercer counties, and positions are open for all work styles. Whether you need a full-time job with competitive pay and excellent benefits, or a flexible part-time position that allows you to set your own hours, Cooper Farms is the place for you to pursue your next career. Go to CooperFarmsJobs.com to join us today and find a new job. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-85
Our schools will be open to the public for winter walking hours through the end of March. The hours will be Monday through Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. At the elementary middle school, please use the middle school entrance and walk only in the main street hall. At the high school, please use the commons entrance. Other walking options in our community are the track at the football field, which will be available most days, and the Paul Stogler walking trail at the community park. The Fort Recovery Merchants Christmas Open House is coming up Thursday through Sunday, November 9th through 12th. And in addition to all the great deals in all the stores, here are some of the other great things going on. On Thursday evening, they'll have the lighting of the Christmas tree in Krenning Park at 7:15 with music by Pastor Kate Ratliff of the Nazarene Church. And our Girl Scouts will have hot chocolate and coffee available there all evening. And there will be a bake sale, too. Santa will be visiting with the boys and girls in his house in Krenning Park on Thursday from 5 to 7, on Saturday from 11 to 1, and on Sunday from 11 to 4. And there will be even more events on Sunday from 11:30 to 4. There will be a live nativity next to Simple Touch's new location. The carriage rides will be running from 11 to 4. And there will be a Pioneer Christmas demonstration in the Log House in Krenning Park from 11:30 to 4. And our museum will be open free of charge on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 11 to 4, featuring their new special exhibit, St. Clair's Defeat Revisited. At the library, they'll be having a week-long book fair during their regular library hours, and on Sunday from 1 to 2:30, they'll be doing take-home crafts for the kids presented by the Fort Recovery 4-H Clubs. And be sure to sign up at all the merchants to win a $1,000 Merchants Association shopping spree. It'll be a great time each day, Thursday through Sunday, November 9th through 12th, for the Christmas open house, with lots of surprises and great prices all over town. Don't miss it.
We're back. Neil, I went the whole time and I didn't play any jokes on the whole. When like you say we're back,
yeah,
I came back every time you said we're back.
Yeah.
That's the first time I think I've ever done that.
Yeah, I didn't know how to take it.
The Christmas open house.
Yes.
Not this weekend, but correct. Next weekend.
Next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
do you know, is the new coffee shop going to be open?
I do not know that.
At one time, I had heard that that was their target date.
I do not know. I have not heard any of that at all.
Rocker, you know?
The PR answer to that, I hope so.
Very good.
You am I on, by the way?
Yeah, you're testing. You're loud and proud.
Well, and put your headphones on and see if you're and make sure you're on.
Yeah. And you sound kind of gravelly.
It's sexy, is what Bubba says whenever I have a.
It works for Wolfman Jack.
Ah.
Yes.
Although I don't have quite that voice.
No, you don't. So what? What's on the agenda, Rocker?
Culture history. October 31st, 1941, Mount Rushmore is completed after quite a few years. I guess, was it, they said 4 years?
It was more like 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
You said 1941?
Yes. Named after Charles Rushmore.
Why?
He was a lawyer, apparently.
So, who carved it?
Look, Borglum. Can't remember his first name, but it's like Swedish or something like that. Borglum
was the guy.
And it took how long?
Apparently 15 years.
I'm guessing 10, 15 years.
Is there any landmark that has been copied and utilized more than the Mount Rushmore? You hear the Mount Rushmore of NBA players, or the Mount Rushmore of Fort Recovery
icons.
Yeah.
God, I hope I'm on that mountain at least.
You're close. If like we added a fifth head, you'd be right there.
Who did I get beat out by? Portsy?
Probably not. Probably Stacy.
Stacy
Link.
Well, that's not so bad, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
2003, surfer Bethany Hamilton is attacked by sharks, taking one arm.
Oh.
Which led to a movie made about her.
I don't think I saw the movie.
Lefty.
Or I believe it's called Soul Surfer.
Oh, not Lefty.
Not Lefty. I'm not sure which arm it was, but no.
Well, we're deciding it was the right arm.
2003, or nuts. Or you're the talking wrong arm. 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
1966, November 1st.
Oh, November 1st. 1966.
We bypassed
it. Uh-oh.
We missed it.
Never mind then.
What was... What'd you have there, Scooter? You have surfer music or what? Oh, I thought you...
No.
Okay.
No.
1966, Applejack's cereal was trademarked and sold in stores for the first time.
I always liked Applejack's.
I never did care for that.
What do you get when you gotta eat something? It's gotta be sweet, and it's gotta be a lot, and you only got a dime.
A dime?
That was Cracker Jacks.
Oh.
So, skip it.
Jeez.
Bill is here, apparently.
God.
Those Apple Jacks.
Low off.
Well, same thing, only different.
Yeah.
2002, Santa Claus ho-hos his way into theaters. Santa Claus 2, that is.
Oh, well then.
Tim Allen?
Yes, very good.
Oh.
Very good. 2002.
Yeah. It was 21 years ago.
You got nothing on that one?
Hey, I said Tim Allen. That's as much as I got. Plus, it was the two, so.
Yeah.
Which wasn't near as good as the first one.
Yeah.
Well, in the history of sequels, let's face it.
Yeah.
Very rarely, I mean very rarely, that the second one is better than the first. Now, the only close exception to that is maybe Lethal Weapon 2. Now, other than that, if you count Rocky IV,
some of the Rocky ones are really good.
So
I never watched any of them.
Would Christmas Vacation be considered a sequel to
what?
To Animal Lampoon's Vacation?
Well, it was an Animal House, wasn't it? Or National Lampoon?
Yeah. So that was a sequel. Was it better?
Yeah.
I think there was only one, though.
There's a National Lampoon's Vacation. Then there's a Christmas Vacation. And I think there's another one.
Which is where
Vacation.
Yeah.
Which is where they take the trip and they go to...
Oh, that was the first one.
Yeah. And then there's Christmas Vacation.
Yes. I think that was the end one.
There was Vacation in Europe.
Vegas.
Vacation in Vegas.
So no, actually, I thought Vegas was better than... Obviously not better than Christmas Vacation.
But Christmas Vacation was a sequel, so that was one.
So that's
one that was better.
That's an example
of one that was better. But like you said, most of them aren't better than the original.
European might have been the worst one of that bunch. So
And Rush Hour 2 may have been better than Rush Hour 1.
Yeah, I never watched either one of those. So
some of the diehards are close. The first one's probably the best, but
I'll be honest with you, I don't remember Die Hard 2 that much.
I think I was one at the airport with the airplane.
I know the first one, and there's a 3, I believe.
I think there's a 3 and a 4.
Yeah. Let's do the area birthdays.
Oh boy, yes. Area birthdays.
Tuesday, we got Allie Vaughn.
Yep.
Garrett,
she's 21 now.
Oh, my. Why am I saying that? Allie Vaughn.
Yeah.
Garrett Diller. And we got Mike Weitzel.
Happy birthday.
Former resident.
And that was yesterday?
That was Tuesday. Wednesday, we got an old classic, George Tom and Young George, that is.
Yep.
Oh, Young George.
And Erica Ranley O.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, all.
Thursday, I think everybody likes this guy.
Well, thank you, Rock.
Ivo Wendell.
Of course.
All right, yep. Yep.
Which leads us to that glowing contest every week that we always have.
I hope I win again.
Citizen of the Day.
Yes. Thank you, Jack. At least somebody's playing along. Todd Post is your winner this week.
Oh, yeah? Very good. And Todd wins what?
The Citizen of the Day.
$10 million from Rocker. But they'll have to take a bad check. So,
and not to mention maybe a free hour of babysitting.
From Rocker?
Sure,
that'd be a bad idea. That's a bad idea.
Celebrity birthday time.
Ooh, celebrity birthdays.
October 31st.
Ooh.
Legendary CBS man Dan Rather turns 92.
I hate him.
He's always spoke highly of you.
That's a good start for this show.
Yeah.
Like him.
No, he was no Walter Cronkite, but that's pretty big shoes to fill. Deidre Hall, soap star, turns 76.
Who?
Here we go.
Deidre Hall?
Soap star. Soap opera star.
Yeah.
76.
Good. That's awesome.
Jade Pauley turns 73.
I don't like her.
I like her.
Okay, we got a tie. Movie director Peter Jackson turns 62.
What movies did he direct? I've heard of him.
The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then King Kong.
Yep.
Our old buddy Rob Schneider turns 60. And basically Sandler's lap dog.
Yeah.
Turns 60.
Well then.
And Vanilla Ice turns 56.
You like it, don't you?
I hate it.
Neil absolutely hates it.
Stealing the beat from Queen, Under Pressure. Claims it's slightly different, and it had nothing to do with his choice of that beat. That bum 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 bum.
Jack, this guy, I think more along your lines. November 1st, Lyle Lovett turns 66.
Why is that more along my line?
Well, he seemed like he'd be your cup of tea. Luckiest man for all of maybe 2 years. He was married to Julia Roberts.
I like Lyle Lovett.
Married in Marion, Indiana.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
And I
believe, figure that out. Lyle Lovett and Julia Roberts.
Yeah, nobody figured that one out.
Yep.
And why Marion, Indiana, of all places?
Because that's where they were when they got the idea. Why don't we just get married? Okay.
Singled out star Jenny McCarthy turns 51. If I had more young people around me, this would make more sense.
Yeah, you need to quit hanging around old people.
So are you a Jenny McCarthy fan?
I was at the time.
You was at the time?
Yeah. And country singer Bo Bice is 48.
So,
Bo Bice, sorry.
Were you a like, the whole Jenny McCarthy hot, like, was she, like, the first, one of the first?
She kind of got undershadowed by Pam at the time. I think she kind of got lopped in there in that bunch. And then on top of that, you got to factor in, at the time she rolled in, you also had Anna Nicole Smith.
And well, then, but Jenny McCarthy was like the video disc jockey, right?
No, but she was, she was like, I mean, MTV. She did Singled Out. It was like a precursor to like the Dating Game, and
yeah.
Only a little more upbeat and hip.
Probably a post-cursor.
Post-cursor, I guess, yes.
Yeah.
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 So you should also talk about, like, celebrity deaths, because there's been
some. We've had a couple that,
yeah.
Well, and I guess we just learned of one this afternoon. Matthew Perry, of course, Saturday got, depending on what you believe. He had a heart attack and slipped inside of the hot tub. 54, I believe.
Same age as you, Rocker.
That's my brother, not me.
Oh. So who died today?
Bobby Knight passed away this afternoon.
Oh. I'll be darned.
At the whopping age of 88.
Was he 88? Hmm. You know what? You can say what you want, but the guy was entertaining. And
he was a winner.
Got a lot out of his players.
Well, yep. Here's what gets me. All those people like to criticize Bob Knight, but and they jack-jawed him for how many years? But they knew exactly. The ones that, even Damon Bailey's parents and all of them who sent their kids to play for him, they knew exactly what they're getting themselves into.
Yep. Larry Bird couldn't make it there, so he went to Indiana State.
Well, yeah.
He made it a year. And he took off. Yeah. He's like, I ain't doing this.
But, you know, it's like, you know, the guy was a legend. He was a winner.
Yep.
Not to mention how much money he donated to the Indiana school. You know, and then you have one little Discopot who wanted to get his jollies by, oh, I got to be the one that fired Bob Knight.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, it's like Woody Hayes. It's like a lot of these older guys, they get to the point where they think they're bigger than the game, or they're bigger than the
industry. Well, whose fault is that?
Well,
that's not just Bob Knight's fault. That's not just Woody Hayes' fault. It's the fault of the media.
Yeah, don't blame the media for that.
Yeah, but
Joe Paterno.
The media, yeah.
You know,
Jack, you tell me, that whole time they built Woody Hayes up like he was this big hero. There's always that one person who's waiting for him to do something to knock him right back down.
But in each of those cases, They're great coaches. They have winning programs. They're highly thought of, but they stay too long.
Well, I don't. That's the thing.
You know.
Yep.
And they start getting
Joe Paterno's another one.
Yeah.
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 And the thing is, that's why I was worried about Coach K, because I was hoping he would go before they find a reason to get rid of him. I mean, Joe Paterno's situation was a little different. I mean, they got gift-wrapped Jerry Sandusky. Woody Hayes, that whole situation, you know, he slapped that player upside the head, which, you know, you obviously can't do.
And the kid had a helmet on. You ain't going to hurt him.
It's going to hurt. It was going to hurt Woody more than it was going to hurt him.
But it just, you know, a guy has to know when to quit, you know.
But if you're, Derek, and that goes back to the media again. You know, as long as the guy is winning, what's the incentive to quit?
You're old and you're tired and you don't make
But was the fans decision. Saying that at the time?
Probably not. What about Harbaugh?
Well, he's not that old, is he?
No.
I don't know, but I think he's...
He won't be Michigan's coach next year.
He's getting a new contract.
Nope. They tabled that.
Well, as of yesterday, they are putting it on the fast track.
You watch.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, you tell me, Jack. Okay.
But that cheating wasn't really cheating. Everybody does it.
Nah.
Yeah. And he didn't know about it. He said so.
Of all the stuff, like all the coaches are out there now, whether it be basketball, football, whatever.
Yep.
Is there any one of them that you think probably should step away right now?
That should step away right now.
I mean, Bobby Huggins kind of got, you know.
Yeah.
He kind of did himself in.
Saban's getting close.
Yeah, he might be the one that's next on the.
Saban's getting close. And he, you know, he isn't that old, but you know, he's getting to that stage. You know, like he just had a couple of college coaches, you know, like the Luke Kornacek or whatever his name was, the coach at Connecticut's girls team.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they're just running their course, and I'm not saying.
I don't see what gets me is I don't I'm not a big fan of Mr. Well, I don't even know what his name is, but up there in Connecticut, I always call him Gino. Yeah, that's the one I can
Gino
go by.
Orietta or something like that. Yeah.
I would hate to think after all that good he did that they would find. I mean, typically they take him out by way of. You know, oh, he got caught in the showers with somebody, or I mean, you know,
you're just talking about Penn State right now.
No, I'm just saying,
or Woody Hayes. Woody Hayes get caught in the showers.
I'm just saying that they're gonna find if you don't quit, they're gonna find some reason to make you quit.
Yeah.
So. When they basically just threw Joe Paul underneath the bus.
But Joe Paul knew.
Yeah, but did they ever prove that?
Know that stuff and not protect your kid.
Yep.
But did they ever prove that he knew, though?
That doesn't, you don't have to.
Well, you're in charge of the program. Just like, what's his name at Michigan? Harbaugh at Michigan. He's in charge of the program. He should know what's going on, especially if they're paying this guy money. What's he doing? Well, he's getting the signals. Well, maybe he doesn't know exactly that, but they're paying him for something, and they're paying for his tickets to the game and giving him, apparently some of the reports are saying they're giving him traveling money, you know, so he's going to the games so he can stay. stand there and film their opponents' signals and then go study them. You know, that's...
So it's basically by way of this guy, they're again, are they basically saying we're done with Harbaugh, we're going to find a reason to crap can him?
Harbaugh won't give him a chance. He'll be the next coach at some NFL team.
Yep, that's probably right. He'll get quote unquote a better offer. Yeah.
So my next question is, how long is it? Maybe he's decided to stay with broadcasting, but how long do you think before Meyer gets an NFL job, but good college job?
I think he's finally done with that. I think.
Because
I thought he was done when he left Florida or Florida State or whatever that was.
Because the excuse for leaving Ohio State was he had health problems.
Yeah, and he did.
And then he went to Jacksonville, which causes more stress.
Two or three years later, and the doctor cleared him. And then he had some other... He still has some health problems, but he still has a fire, too. So, but I think if they keep him entertained and kind of schmooze him a little bit with the broadcasting, he'll just stay there.
Yeah, that's probably for the best, too, I think.
I would agree.
Yep.
Well, I think we're out of here, ain't we?
Yep.
Well, we had great candidates. We have this will be in the archives later tonight in about 20 or 30 minutes. Greg LaFever and Dee Greasup from last week are in the archives. We encourage you to do some research, and that's probably the best research on them before you do your voting. Make sure you do your research on issue one and issue two. Issue two is the making of recreational pot legal in the state of Ohio.
Are you in favor of it, Neil?
I don't know. I think it's going to happen. So I guess I'm not, whether I'm in favor or not doesn't make much difference. But fortunately, 2 years ago, they turned it down, and even people that were in favor of it turned it down because all the money was going to go to consortiums that were outside the state of Ohio. Other people were going to make all the money. And so even people that were for recreational pot voted against it or didn't vote for it. And so it didn't pass. This one, I haven't heard anybody throwing any negative stuff at it. So I'm going to guess it's going to pass. The issue one, there's all kinds of little details in the pro thing and the negative thing. So read the Daily Standard once a week puts a thing in there that you can look at, or you can just go online and read the official pros and cons about it instead of just listening to the commercials. So make sure you do a little research, but I can tell you how that is going to go in Mercer County. Across the state, who knows? So, yeah, but and again, I think I say this every time we have elected officials on that we're talking, or people running candidates for public office coming on. If we pick the worst ones, we're still in really good shape. We get some pretty good people running for public office in Mercer County, and these five that are running for our school board, they make it tough because they're all really good.
Well, and really I'd say that people. There's no doubt that from an intent standpoint, they're running with the right mindset.
Yep.
And you know, with the right heart.
Yep.
You know. As far as skill set and personality, I don't know any of that, but I do believe that all five of them have the best intent,
right,
and they want what's best for Fort Recovery Schools.
Yeah,
and
over the decades, we've had a couple here and there that have an agenda, and they want to go and just raise holy hell, but we haven't had that for a long time, and these five are not those people. So, you know, get to a little, listen to listen to them over and over again if you want to, or just kind of remember what you heard, and get to kind of know what they're talking about and decide who's going to be the best. We get to vote for three. Anything else you want to throw in there, Rocker?
I got nothing.
And Jack? I just want to remind everybody to say your prayers for the people that were in the accident.
Yep. Did you hear any more details?
Yeah.
Anything that we want to make public? Or?
Well, it was just on WCSM, so I think we could share it.
Oh, okay.
It was the Kesters family, like Dave and... I don't know what Dave's wife's name is.
I don't know either. Yeah.
And their kids. And yeah. I just know there's some injuries, and our prayers are with the whole
Absolutely.
Family. The extended families. We love you guys. We're praying for you. And
definitely. Yep.
We'll be thinking about you.
Yep. Absolutely.
So until next week.
Yep.
Jack Rocker and Neil.
And Sports Talk will be back next week. So we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. And things will be in the archives shortly.
Thank you for staying tuned to It Right With Mr. Jack Stogler. Right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part